This is Digital Story Podcast number 897, May 30th, 2023. Today's theme is Why I Love Graduations. I'm Derek Story. Photographers are witnesses to the good and bad of life. Since I've left the newspaper business, I photograph mostly good. And one of my favorite positives is documenting junior college graduations. There's something very special about these people, and being there to watch them celebrate their accomplishments reminds me that there is hope for our community and society overall. I'll explain why on today's TDS Photography Podcast. This last Saturday, I was one of a handful of credentialed photographers hired to cover the 2023 Santa Rosa Junior College graduation ceremony. Each of us had specific assignments, and we were tasked with overall coverage as well. Basically, we're there to retell the story that is happening before us. This moment features hundreds of graduates, each with their own story. But what is different about this collective, generally speaking, is the odds they had to overcome to reach this moment. Junior college life is different than life at a four-year university. I know this firsthand. I spent 2 years at Chaffey Junior College in Southern California, and that saved my academic career that was eventually completed at a university. JC graduations, at least the ones I've covered, do a great job of capturing the challenges and accomplishments of those seated in their caps and gowns. The speakers on stage tell stories of adversity, financial challenges, doubt, and ultimately, triumph. For many families in the stands cheering for those seated on the football field, they are seeing the first from their clan receive a higher education diploma. Their child, sister, brother represent the hope that following generations will have more opportunity than those before them. Many of the graduates had to balance their studies with one or more jobs, often being key providers for their family. Their life consisted of work, study, family, more work, more study, and if they were lucky, some sleep. They often had to piece together small scholarships and grants in addition to what could be spared from the paycheck to pay for books and tuition. And remarkably, thanks to the genius that is the junior college system in California, most of the graduates received their diplomas debt-free from educational expenses. Many of the graduates will go to four-year schools, as I did. Some will enter the workforce now as dental hygienists, medical assistants, firemen, computer programmers, hospitality specialists, fashion designers, and electricians, just to name a handful of those disciplines. These are the people we need in society. And not only do they graduate with the technical skills required for their chosen career, they are disciplined and are willing to exert effort required for success. They are prepared to meet the challenges of the workplace because they're already battle-tested. Every educational milestone is an accomplishment, from high school diploma to doctorate degree. But there is something unique and special about those who battle to achieve an AA degree or certificate. And for me, it's a real honor to be able to share that moment with them. Fujifilm's new X app simplifies mobile sharing for recent X camera models. Now, this is a post from DP Review, so I have the link in the show notes. I'm going to read you a little bit about the post, but then I've been testing this myself, and I want to tell you more. So they have kind of the official scoop, and they have the press release there, all that good stuff. So you want to see that, and then I'll tell you how it worked out. Okay, let's start with them. Fujifilm unveiled a new app for its cameras. The Fujifilm X app replaces the old camera remote app for users of supported cameras and will be the new default going forward. X app looks to roll image transfer, sharing, remote control, firmware updates, and even some unique stats into one convenient interface. Fujifilm is boasting improved image transfer times, more reliable Bluetooth connections, and a minimalist design. Compatible cameras will also automatically sync their date stamp to the smartphone's clock and can assign GPS data to images if desired. Now here's where we get into some new things. In addition, the Fujifilm X-App will track your shooting habits and locations, everything from your lenses, preferred film simulations, and number of shots in virtual rolls or feet of film, depending on whether you're shooting video or stills, and can be seen in a unified timeline interface. You can also use the X-App to store, change, and apply camera settings, making it easy to sync settings across cameras of the same model when you're shooting with multiple bodies. Not all Fujifilm cameras will be making the leap to X-App as it requires Bluetooth functionality. That said, a long list of cameras will be compatible with others like the GFX100 and GFX50R added in the future. All right, let's talk about this thing. So I was very excited about this announcement because I really like app integration with my camera. And I'll circle back to Fujifilm in just a second. Just to give you one scenario, you know, I was just talking about junior college graduations. One of the things that we do now, I mean, everything is sped up. Remember when I was talking about weddings a few podcasts ago? So one of the things that we do now is that during the course of the shoot, you know, and we usually start like a half an hour before things are supposed to get going. We do, you know, shoot the prelims. Then we're all the way through the graduation, the speeches, all that stuff, all the way to the end. And it's usually, you know, 3-4 hours for the whole deal. Along the way, we are posting images to Instagram. And so all the photographers have to funnel their shots to the PR person in charge of posting on social, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, whatever. And so we have to kind of do that in real time. And there are moments to do that during the graduation. I mean, once you have a speaker speaking, you can enjoy the speech, right? You've already taken a few pictures. And while you're enjoying the speech, you can upload some pictures. So I shoot these events with the OM-1, the Olympus OM-1, you know, the OM system. And they've really improved Bluetooth functionality and transfer capability with that camera. So I can just pull out my iPhone, open up the OI Share app, pick some shots very quickly, upload them to my iPhone, and then text them to the PR person where she can then post them on social. And the whole thing works really well. I use photos to touch up the images. I don't do a lot of touch up. I usually will do a little crop if necessary and do the magic wand adjustment. And then if anything else needs it, like a little warm up on the color temperature, I can do that really quick in photos and send it up. And it just works well. I mean, I can upload 5 or 6 shots in just the course of a speech that's going on in front of me. So this functionality is nice for all sorts of things, for geotagging. I just love geotagging everywhere. I geotag everything now, for sharing images, for remote control. So it's important. It's important that it works well. Olympus has definitely had its rough spots with its app, but now with the OM-1 and OI Share, it's working really well. And Fujifilm, for as much as I love my X100V and my GFX100S, that app was frustrating. And I was getting geotags, but that was about the extent of it. So this is a long way of saying how important this functionality is and how much I was looking forward to X-App. So they announced X-App, and then they had a release date last week. And I was all ready to go. I'm so excited. And people were talking about, okay, it's pretty good, all that sort of stuff. And I go to the App Store, and it's not there. So it was released, and then right away, they pulled it off the App Store. And we don't know why. I don't know why. I couldn't get any information as to why. So then I go, all right, that's not the way we want to start things here, is it? So then next day, I checked again, and fortunately the next day it was available. So I downloaded it. The first thing that you have to know is After you check your camera compatibility, and quite honestly, it's going to be, you know, one of the newer cameras, right? So in the X100 series, only the V right now is compatible with a new app. If you have an older camera, you have to keep using the older app. And it goes down the line, and there's a list where you can check all the compatible cameras. That DP Review article that I cited, that I just read from, they have the official press release also in that article, and you can see more information about camera compatibility. But in my case, the X100V is going to work, and I'm pretty sure that my GFX 100S will work too. I haven't quite got to getting it ready yet. Then you're in a catch-22, though, because you need the new firmware. You need new firmware for the camera in order to use the app. But the first time, you can't use the new app to upgrade to the new firmware. You have to use either the old app to upgrade to the new firmware, so you can use the new app, which I tried unsuccessfully. It just went nuts. It was driving me crazy. So finally what I did is I just went to the Fujifilm site. I downloaded the firmware update, put it on the little SD card, you know this thing, and then you put the SD card in and you run it that way. So I did have to kind of go the long way to get the firmware updated, but I did get it updated. Once you have the firmware updated, so you need a compatible camera, and then you need to update the firmware, then you can start working with the new X app. Now, once I started working with a new X app, I have to say I do like it, and it is a lot better than the old camera remote app. What are the things that I like about it? Well, first of all, let me just fire it up right here. I brought my camera up here so I didn't forget anything. So I'm going to turn on my camera, right? And it has Bluetooth. And I'm going to go to the X app right now. And once I do that, they'll start talking because of the modern Bluetooth. The app will see the camera sees the app, and they're there. So there are some Bluetooth things that you can do where you don't have to use Wi-Fi at all. In other words, now, right now, in the amount of time I've been talking, they're ready to go for some basic things. I can use this setup right now for remote control. I don't have to enable Wi-Fi for that. It will use the Bluetooth. I can use the setup right now for geotagging. I'm ready to go right now. I don't have to do anything. I've already given permission for geotagging in the settings, and I just launch the app and make sure the camera's on, and I can start geotagging. And I'm checking the back of my camera screen right now, and it says yes, it is ready to record geotags. And then there's a couple other little things, backup and restore settings. So there's stuff you can do with just Bluetooth, and you don't have to fool around with Wi-Fi connectivity. That is great. Then, if you want to do image acquisition, or if you want to do remote photography, and I'm not talking about just remote control where you tap the button to take a picture, that's nice. It's like a cable release, only there's no cable. But if you want more sophistication, where you can change the white balance, you can change the shutter speed, you can indicate where you want the camera to focus. You see the image on your smartphone that the camera is framed for. If you want that stuff, then you do have to do Wi-Fi connectivity. And that part has gotten better as well. So you just tap this big button that says image acquisition / photography, and then the Wi-Fi connection begins. Now, it does still take a few seconds for all this to happen, but it will happen, unlike before, where you never knew if it was going to happen or not. Now, every time I've done it, and I've tested it a number of times, it happens. And then now you can start downloading pictures off the camera. And you have a choice on how big they are. And basically, you only get two choices. And this is one area where I think they might refine this up the road. You can download full-size images if you want, or you can click on resize. And if you do that, it will download 2 megapixel size images, which is fine if you're just doing web sharing and stuff like that. That's a big enough size for social media. So I've done both. Obviously, if you don't need the full size image right now, you know, because that takes a little bit longer, there's more bits being transferred, you can go with resize. However, it's such a small size. And what happens is the image on my iPhone, because I use the iOS system, The image goes right into my Photos app, which means then it's being backed up on iCloud and it's available on all my devices. So I just download the full-size image because then I have it in my workflow and I don't have to worry about, oh, darn it, that's just a 2-megapixel version of that shot, and then I have to go find the full-size shot. So I'm just doing the full-size shots. So all in all, I would say that this works quite well. There's a couple little things I'd like changed. For example, I'd like to have more options on resizing. I think the menu is pretty clear. I haven't done a firmware update with it yet. We'll see how that works now that I have the current firmware. The activity recording, I'm still kind of learning a little bit about it. It's very cute. You see all the different rolls of film, and if you use one of those simulations, you know, it tells you how many shots you did with it, all that. I'm still getting to the bottom of that. I think the bottom line for Fujifilm photographers who have newer versions of the camera, if you have an X-T5, whatever, this is worth doing because you have now really nice integration with your smartphone, either Android or iOS. They have worked out a lot of the bugs, and I'm giving it a thumbs up right now, and I'm anticipating that's going to get even better. So thank you, Fujifilm, for finally getting this connectivity taken care of. The X app is a good deal. It's free, and you can download it from Google Play or the iOS App Store. Confessions of a photographer who formerly packed for every possibility. And formerly was in parentheses. And this is from fstoppers.com. I have a link to the full article where you can go and read all of it. I'm just going to give you a little part of it right now. But since we are nimble photographers, many of us, and we do talk about how much or how little to pack, I thought a lot of you would get a kick out of the story and hope that you go over to fstoppers and read the whole thing. Let me read you just a little bit about it right now. As a 6'1 guy with 20 plus years in the Army National Guard and a lot of construction projects behind me, I'm fairly used to carrying heavy things. Recently, my wife and our 3 kids, all under 5 years old, took an overnight flight to Lisbon, Portugal. Traveling from La Crosse to Amsterdam via Minneapolis, with only 1 flight left, the airplane gave away my seat to someone else. Just my seat, of course. According to their system, I never showed up at the La Crosse airport, despite getting on 2 planes thus far and everyone in my party traveling with me. Nevertheless, I was stuck in Amsterdam alone, waiting for the next flight, while the rest of the group went to Portugal without me so the kids could get there before nighttime. The epiphany. Prior to this seat being given away episode, we had been awake for 22 hours and just raced across airports because of a short layover. When I say race, I mean fast walking with 2 or 3 of the kids in a stroller and 42 pounds of camera gear in my backpack. For this trip, I had 4 lenses, 2 Canon mirrorless bodies, the R5 and the R6 II, an Insta 360, X3, Profoto A2 flash, 2 microphones. I had no use for even 1 mic. 2 ball heads, among other countless accessories. That's not even counting my tripod in our carry-on. I decided to pack lighter after a trip to Hawaii with the kids in December. How did I do this time? I left my drone at home, mostly because of the confusing drone laws in Europe, but hey, I felt pretty proud of reducing my kit. So this is his reduced kit. And then he goes on and talks about, okay, there's got to be a better way to do this. And he talks about the process of really lightening up his kit. Okay. So I'm going to leave that to you where he gets into the details. He talks about the bag, the gear, all that kind of stuff. I'm going to jump down now to, so how did it go? I loved it. Limiting what I used allowed me to create better photos. Although I didn't do as much architectural photography as I usually do, 3 kids under 5, my work was better than anything I've ever done before. I also felt more confident knowing I didn't have to take all these things. I still might bring a backup camera body in my carry-on, but now the iPhone is so amazing, I'm even doubtful about that. Does this sound familiar to you by any chance? I think that this article is interesting, even though I've talked about it, this topic, many times. It's good to hear someone else's experience, don't you think? It reminds me a little bit of like when your parents tell you something, you know, over and over again, and you seem not to hear them. And then a friend tells you the same thing, and right away you change your behavior. Much to the chagrin of your parents, who are going, we've been telling you that for years. I'm not saying that, I'm parental voice for you, but I think you get my point. And one point that he made in his how did that go part, and this is something that I honestly believe, and, I got to experience again because I was just in Point Reyes for the workshop, and of course I'm thinking about how much I'm going to pack because, you know, I have them in a camera backpack, and we're going on these hikes, and I'm taking pictures, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I feel fresh as a daisy when I travel light, and when I feel fresh as a daisy, and I don't know why daisies are fresh, honestly, but when I feel fresh as a daisy, I am more creative. I go over to that extra little lookout. I explore this area to the left that's off the trail. I do all these sort of things that I would not do if my energy was low. And I think that is the key to this whole thing of not carrying too much equipment. Now, if you can carry 40 pounds of equipment and still be fresh as a daisy, and I know some people that can. We've got a couple folks that attend our workshops, our physical workshops, on a fairly regular basis who can carry 40 pounds and still be fresh as a daisy. However, they are the exception, not the rule. And I will say they are a bit younger than me as well. Okay. So they have that going for them. For the rest of us who maybe aren't as creative when we're lugged down with 40 pounds of gear, it is really worth thinking about, what do I think I'm going to need for this particular shoot? Am I covered if something goes wrong a little bit? Can I still get shots? What is your backup camera? Is it your iPhone? Do you carry a little compact camera? You know, stuff like that. And then just go out and give it a try. Honestly, just give it a try. If you're not doing it already, and I think a lot of you are, but if you haven't done it already, give it a go. See how it turns out and see how you feel afterwards. And I think, again, reading this article on F-stoppers, and where he really gets into the detail, but it's fun, and it kind of helps us go through that mental process in our own brains about what we can leave behind and what we can't. I loved it that his first pass of lightening up was not taking the drone. Oh, yeah, two microphones and all this other stuff in there. Oh, that was just a hoot. So anyway, I thought you might enjoy this post. I think it's a good one. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news here. I'm going to start out with a Wine Country and Autumn Photography Workshop. One seat is open. I really want to keep this group from getting too big because, you know, we are going to be going and doing stuff as a group. We're going to be going to these wineries and tasting wine. And I don't want to go in there like a tour bus, you know, with 18 people. I want to go in as a nice, tight group. I want to be able to get tables in restaurants. You know, I want to be able to do all that fun stuff. I guess I want to be as nimble with this workshop as I like to be nimble with my gear, because it's more fun and I think we'll be more creative and I think we'll have more access to things as a result. So my plan right now is just to limit it to one more seat. This is happening in November 2nd through the 4th. And this is also a great opportunity to add on things because you're already going to be here. So we'll spend 3 days together in the workshop, and I'll definitely get you pointed in the right direction. We're going to do a lot of stuff, and you're going to fill up your memory cards with photos. But then you're already here. Do you want to go to Napa? Do you want to go down to the San Francisco area? Do you want to go up to the Humboldt Redwoods? Do you want to go over to the Sonoma coast? I mean, there are so many things to do once you're here. So I wouldn't think about it only as the workshop at the most beautiful time to be here, but also What are the other stuff that you can do that you've wanted to do out here and you just haven't had the time, or someone to help you plan it who actually lives here? You can read more about it by going to thenimblephotographer.com or clicking on workshops at thedigitalstory.com, or there's a link in the show notes. Regardless, we still have a seat open, and I think whoever gets it is going to have a great time. I want to give a shout out to our Inner Circle members. They have been doing some great work lately. I've truly enjoyed the photos that they've been posting this month. We're winding down. We're coming to the end of this particular photo challenge, but then we'll have another one, as we always do. Plus, I just enjoy the commentary that goes along. This is not just people posting pictures and asking questions to some social media group. This is people posting pictures and asking questions to photographers who really care, who are engaged, who are interested, you know, who will comment on the photos, who will try to answer the questions. And I think that's one of the things that I just really enjoy about this group, is their engagement. I want to thank all of our Inner Circle members, because I truly appreciate what you guys do for this community to keep it vibrant and alive. If you're thinking about joining us, please do. Just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. I want to mention LiveView, which is a publication that we have on Medium.com. We've added a couple more writers, and I would say we are definitely in full swing right now. We have a great library of photography articles, and I think the thing that's a little bit different about the LiveView publication on Medium.com is that we have a LiveView writer space on Derek Story Online. And we talk about our article ideas. We post drafts and get comments from the other writers. We actually really kind of work through the process of putting the best writing possible on this LiveView publication. So it's not just someone, you know, dashing off a first draft about, you know, something that they're up in arms about or excited about. It's writers who have really put some thought into what they're posting on LiveView and having other writers take a look at it. And then these writers having, you know, the moxie to, you know, listen to comments and stuff and, you know, refine their pieces before we make them live. If you'd like to take a peek at what we're up to, all you have to do is go to medium.com/live-view. That's medium.com/live-view. You can see what's going on there. We have a nice library of articles already. We have two new ones going up this week, including one by me. It'll be there if you go over there. And if you like what you see, if you like what you read, please follow us and clap for the writers. Show them your support. These folks are making it happen, and it's really fun to watch. And I think you will enjoy the posts as well. And finally, I'd like to thank our friends at Red River Paper, the longest-running sponsor of The Digital Story. These are the folks that support not only our community, but support our efforts to make beautiful art with our inkjet printers. As I've been talking a lot about lately, and because I'm so just enamored with it right now, that printing black and white with my inkjet printer is a very satisfying thing to do. It really is. Having the black and white images on my camera, or working with them, you know, in Silver Effects Pro or Lightroom, and really getting them looking great on the computer screen, I like that part. I think it's really fun, and I love the way a lot of these images look. But then when I take those very same images that I've been working on and I put them on some fine art paper, some fine art mat, or maybe a luster paper, and see them come out of the inkjet printer just looking like something that's ready to go into a museum, that just takes it to a whole new level. Red River Paper, they have a lot of information about black and white printing. They have a lot of different paper stocks, you know, to help you get started on choosing the right one. If you actually take your black and white work and make some prints with it, I think you'll understand what I'm talking about, the satisfaction that comes with doing that. They have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story, and they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And we're very fortunate to have them supporting this community. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Working on more great stuff for next week. Until then, get out there, take some pictures, make a difference. See you next Tuesday.